Sides Podcast. My name is Tyler Bulbitz, and welcome back to the fourth Sunday in Lent for the week of March 10th, 2024, and I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to dig into this week's podcast, and I am excited with being in the season of Lent. As we've kind of talked about before, this is that part of the year where we're really getting into that deep reflection part of Lent and that hard part of Lent. But I think also that aspect that through that introspection, it allows us to actually go deeper, allows us to actually think deeper, allows us to actually get more out of this text as we are slowly processing closer and closer to Holy Week and what all comes with that. So it's this aspect of difficult texts, theology coming in, and wrestling with all this stuff. And it's hard, but it's also exciting at the same time because it forces us to go so introspective. And I think that's a beautiful thing to be able to do, and especially as scientists, as theologians, it's something that we should be doing on a regular basis anyways. It's something that's needed, and it's something that is important for us to be able to sort through, to be able to really hash some of this different stuff out. So let's just jump into the question for last week, which was, where do we need to stand together instead of standing apart? And the response that we got back this week was kind of talking about how this circular economy and how much we are needing to remember that type of circular economy, that if we are able to remember that, that's something that's easy for people to be able to stand behind. And I think it's one of these things where we often forget how interconnected we actually do enjoy being, especially over the last few years with how the internet has risen up and it's kind of become more of an isolating thing, along with the aspect of how the pandemic has had lingering effects. This idea of how we want to be individuals is important, but it's also that we can't lose ourselves and lose the community in and of itself as well. And how when we look at God's creation in and of itself, yes, there are individuals, but within that there is also community. So trying to figure out and balance those two at the same time, I think, is really important and something that as we are continuing to move forward more and more, I think we need to be able to be thinking about these circular type of economies more than a point A to point B and a throwaway society. So let's just jump into it. The Old Testament text this week is out of Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. This is a moment where we are starting to get the Israelites are wandering around in the desert, and they are starting to get quite angry with Moses. Why'd you bring us out of Egypt just to have us die? And the Lord then does something a little bit weird. God sends poisonous serpents among the people, and they start biting people, and people are dying. So then the people come to Moses and like, we have sinned against the Lord, we have sinned against you, we have prayed to take away the serpents. Moses prays with the people. Moses then gets the message of, make a poisonous serpent, set it on a pole, that everyone who is bitten may look to it and live. And that's what happens. They make it out of bronze, they put it on a pole, and whenever people look at it who have been bitten, they live. And that's the end of where we get out of the Numbers text. The psalm that goes with this is Psalm 107, verses 1 to 3 and 17 to 22. The first verse of this in particular is probably the most familiar. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. This idea here early on of how God continues to work with us even when we're not necessarily deserving of it, redeeming his people from as far as we can possibly be. And then this recognition starting in verse 17 of how our sinful ways and times where we need to continue to cry out to the Lord and recognizing that our healing comes from God, recognizing that in that steadfast love that God does want to step in and be part of that to bring us to songs of joy. But this recognition that it is this cooperation with God that we definitely need to be having. The New Testament text or epistle text this week is out of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. This then is the text of how when we as people sin, we recognize that we are disobedient. We recognize that we follow the flesh and where the flesh is steering us, no matter how much we try. But it's out of the mercy of God and the love of God that through what Christ did for us, this has been a way for us to be able to be made new. This is by the grace through faith that we have been given this gift of new life through what Christ has done for us. And that in this, then that is perpetuating us to continue to strive to do better as we continue to move forward in this way of life. And yet knowing that in that, God realizes that we will still mess up, but it's still our goal to continue to strive to do better. The gospel text this week is out of John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. This text has probably the most familiar line of text, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17, arguably as important, "Indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." But this is this whole section here, continuing the conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus by night. We get in verse 14, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up," referring back to the Numbers text that we have. This continued idea that we are made whole through what Christ is going to do, that we are avoiding the judgment, that we are able to see the light and recognize the true light of who Christ is, and that in that, we are then able to follow more completely, understand more deeply, and become more of who God wants us to have, the relationship that God has with us. So, before we jump into how faith and science come together this week, we have to do our shameless plugs. For Working Preacher, if you haven't checked out Working Preacher, I'd highly recommend it. Between the Sermon Brainwaves podcast, their commentaries, their discussions, since I'm not an ordained minister, I use them on a weekly basis to talk about and bring these podcasts to life. There are some great resources, great commentaries over there, a lot of great resources. And as we've talked about a couple different times this year, let's prepare for worship ahead of time. Let's share this stuff out. Let's really get into that. But that also might mean not only just listening to this podcast, but looking at some other commentaries, looking at other discussions. And there's a lot of these that are great resources that we're talking about. And one of them would be Working Preacher. Another one, like I've talked about before, is the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt's Divinity Library. I really enjoy how they lay out the text week to week, but having the liturgical art there, prayers, hymns, colors, daily Bible verses to be able to do some devotional work, I'd highly recommend checking this resource out if you haven't checked it out, checking out the Revised Common Lectionary coming from Vanderbilt's Divinity Library. I'd also highly recommend checking out the Green Blades Preaching Roundtable and the Green Blades Rising publication. This is either a weekly reflection or a monthly newsletter that includes a lot of different ecological echoes, implications, and urgencies to be able to bring into your weekly preaching. There are some great resources over there for you. I, as I've stated last year, wrote for them for one of the weeks. It's a great thing to be able to think about. And if you enjoy listening to me talk about faith and science for a half an hour each week, I'd highly recommend checking this out. I think this would be right up your alley. Finally, I also have to do my shout out for the Gus Davis Academy for Faith, Science, and Ethics. And if there are any high school age students out there, I'd highly recommend checking this out from June 15th through the 21st, 2024 at Gus Davis Adolphus College. And the topic this year is how and why we sleep, revelations, and rest. I will say it was a highlight to my year last year. I really enjoyed it. I am in discussions to go back again this year and be part of it. It's a great place to be able to take that person who is wondering about how does faith and science and all this stuff work together, along with being able to take some of these different people who have similar ideas and being able to work together. I had a great time last year. it's a lot of just really cool people to spend some time with, thinking about how faith and science work together, how this all comes together. And you have the nice, solid science foundations along with faith foundations mixed and blended. They're having a sleep scientist come in this year. I'm really excited about that. I will be down there at some point, and I'm just super excited about it. And if you are looking at going, I have a $50 discount that you can potentially use. Through April 30th, if you use the discount code of EXTRZA24, it's a $50 discount off one admission into this amazing program. So Ezra, extra with a Z before the A, 24. It's an amazing program. I'd highly recommend checking it out. And as you can probably tell, I'm pretty excited about it going again this summer. Okay, so we have a lot going on here. And I think one of the things, like we kind of talked about when talking about the gospel reading, is we need to understand a little bit of who Nicodemus is and what we're dropping into here to be able to understand a little bit more of what is all going on, to be able to get to our scientific tie-in this week. So Nicodemus is one of the Pharisees. He's leading the temple at this point, one of the high-ranking officials, and is coming and meeting with Jesus by night because Nicodemus is trying to understand what the heck Jesus is all trying to do. And as we kind of get through some of the Gospels, Nicodemus kind of gets it right at the end. But otherwise, Nicodemus is just not quite getting it. And it's easier for him, for his reputation, if he's meeting with this crazy guy at night than where potentially someone would see him. And so that's kind of the layout of where we are. Yes, we have the most familiar Bible verse right in here, but it's also the idea of how Jesus is laying out what Jesus' ministry is all going to be about. That this is not to be something to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That this is going to help make the light revealed, being able to see more clearly what is all going on here. So what does that actually mean? Well, when I'm thinking about this, that sounds a lot like a catalyst within a chemistry experiment, for instance. You can see them in biology, but chemistry uses them a lot. And the Oxford Language Dictionary definition of a catalyst is a substance that increases the rate of a chemical reaction without undergoing any permanent chemical change, aka with its presence being there, it's accelerating the process of whatever two other chemicals are coming together, yet it isn't being part of it. It's not changing anything. It's just accelerating things, making things easier. So, for instance, one of these good examples would be enzymes within your body. Enzymes are little proteins that are wandering around that do a lot of this different type of work. But what it is doing, it is lowering the temperature or pressure needed to start a reaction. And I'll attach a video in the show notes. There's a great little YouTube video where this guy is mixing, and I forget exactly which ones, two different chemicals together. Nothing is going on. He adds a catalyst. You see major changes, things going on, and when the reaction has run its course, this vial that has food dye is still there in the container in its original color and form, just now more diluted because there's some original chemical still there. That is the perfect definition of what a catalyst is. And what we see within enzymes, one of the good examples of this would be when our body finds the sugars in milk from lactose, we have an enzyme, lactase, the substrate that breaks down the lactose into two products of glucose and galactose. It's an enzyme that's lowering the chemical energy to be able to break that apart. And this is then where when we have people who have some different allergies and stuff, one of the things that it can be is that some of the enzymes within the body are having a difficult time being able to do their job, break these things down, or just aren't being present as well as they should be. I would argue, I think for me, I have noticed over the last few years that suddenly I'm having trouble eating like shrimp and crab. And I'm wondering for me if that's actually one of the things that is the problem, is that I'm having an enzyme that isn't present or it's having trouble breaking that down and thus making it harder for my body to be able to process this food. As much as I love it, makes it very hard for my body. So when we think about this, these are very basic principles. Having something there to be able to make it easier for something to happen, making this relationship between these other chemicals happen in a more rapid pace, bringing them together to create whatever product that they're trying to do. And that's what I'd argue, what is Jesus talking about. When we start thinking about what we're moving into here with Lent, and we're getting all these texts foretelling of Jesus's death, I think it's the remembrance here of Jesus coming in and acting as a catalyst. Jesus is seeing through God the separation that we have in this relationship and how it's making it harder for us to have that relationship that God wants to have with us. Because there's this in between. There's the human aspect from the temple that's in between. There's the veil in the temple, which we'll hear about later, is being torn. But the veil at this point that's separating man from God, this separation is making it hard. And that's where we look at this text, like the Ephesians text, talking about how important Christ was, that it's through that grace that is able to see God's love being poured out. God is having the separation as well. The relationship isn't as close. Thus, we aren't able to give the love to God that we'd like to because of the separation, and vice versa. God's love to us has more interpreters. It's harder to flow to us as individuals without this situation. And so what happened? We have Jesus come to be able to show how God does want to come near to us, but then goes through the process that Jesus does and acts as a catalyst. And that's where it's so important of Jesus's resurrection. Because it's the reminder that Jesus doesn't just disappear. Jesus is still present. Jesus is still there. Look at our definition of a catalyst. It increases the rate of a chemical reaction without itself undergoing permanent chemical change. It itself, Jesus returning, shows that yes, I haven't disappeared. I'm not going anywhere. This is the recognition then of how Jesus then is this permanent fixture, and Jesus is coming in to be this accelerant to help bridge this relationship between us. Just as a catalyst works to be able to make it easier, reduce the amount of energy it takes for some type of chemical reaction to happen. That's exactly what Jesus is doing. And I'm no chemist, and if you've been a loyal listener, you know that I don't necessarily go here that often, but I think it's such an important thing for us to remember. Because on top of that, catalysts can be so overlooked. Catalysts can be looked at and forgotten about, and then it's like, oh yeah, why didn't we use a catalyst here? Take a look at that Numbers reading. The Numbers reading, we have the Israelites wandering around. The Israelites complaining about, well, why do we even leave Egypt? Forgetting about how difficult the conditions were in Egypt. But yet the people are complaining about, why did Moses take us out of this? This is something that's nuts, crazy. And then they're forgetting that God has done all these miraculous things to get them to this point. And yet they find there's no food, there's no water, we're in the middle of the desert, and so they're complaining. The catalyst in this, yes, what accelerates things going wrong helps the people remember the catalyst of what has actually happened, how much God has actually provided for them, how much God has continued to show time and time and time again that I am here, I am trying to help you, let me help you. But that's where the rub is. That's why Jesus came. This separation of I have to still go through Moses to make this happen both frustrates both the people and God. We see this sticking point, and that's where Jesus is coming to be that catalyst to accelerate this stuff, to be able to help us see the connection that God wants to have with us. It's why catalysts are so important in these different chemistry experiments. Because there's times where we don't have all day for this reaction to slowly happen. We need something to be able to accelerate it, to bring it and make it so that we can continue on with the next step other than just letting this reaction run its course. Jesus is that for us. And I think that's what is so interesting for us to be able to remember the whole story here of Nicodemus. Jesus is trying to, even for a leader within the church, kind of be telling, this is what's happening. This is what I'm trying to do. Right now, you're the middleman, and I'm trying to get through that. But I'm trying to lay it out so that you can understand this, so that you're not necessarily getting mad, that you're encouraging this and working with me in this. And Nicodemus just can't understand it. Jesus is speaking in such radical terms and radical ways, it's not understood by Nicodemus until after it's happened. And I think in a lot of ways within our world, especially within the church, this is kind of the spot that we're in. I think there are times where God is stirring within the church to try to make us innovate and move faster, adding catalysts that are going to drastically change the church and in ways where God is steering us. But I think there's times where we're like Nicodemus and we sit there and we're like, but what are we talking about here? This doesn't make sense. And we figure out ways to prevent ourselves from putting those catalysts in. Or we figure out ways to continue to draw it out before we put in that catalyst. But more and more that reaction has already happened. And so thus the catalyst isn't as of much good. And I think this sometimes is what weakens the church in certain ways, is that we sit in the middle and try to be Nicodemus, trying to be what Peter was a couple weeks ago and questioning Jesus, is this really the right thing to be doing? And I think that's what's difficult within this life. When do we put the catalyst in? When do we allow these different things to happen to reduce the energy? Is it worth the risk? Do we have the right vessel? Are we accounting for all the different variables? And sometimes the Holy Spirit's just saying, I have something, just do it. And sometimes that's not the case. And sometimes it becomes our own will that we want to accelerate and we put it in and we can't handle it. And I think that's what sometimes is so hard. And thus, yet again, here we are in this Lenten season trying to balance and figure this all out. But I think there is a value here to recognizing that Jesus is this catalyst that's sitting there and waiting for the conditions to be right. Jesus is laying out for Nicodemus, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what's going to happen. And the political sphere isn't at this point, the tensions aren't high enough for anything to happen. Putting in the catalyst wouldn't help. Instead, we have to wait for the right conditions. And so it's this weird balancing act of when the conditions come together, knowing if it's time just to throw in that catalyst, or are we trying to take into consideration too many different things, and by the time we drop in the catalyst, the reaction has basically already happened. And this is where I think the Ephesians text does help, recognizing that as long as we are continuing to try to help with that, as long as we are trying to understand when we're putting in this catalyst and what it's doing, and that it's not changing, that we're trying to do our best, we have to realize that God's love is a major part of that. That God did this to accelerate the love and flow to be able to communicate with us easier. And that this isn't something that we should then be putting up walls to separate God from us. So the question I have for you this week is, where within faith or the church do you see catalysts needing to happen? And if you know of a catalyst, what are some within your personal life or the church? Because I think that's a major thing that we should be talking about. We should be talking about things that are moving things forward, and sometimes for good, and making sure that we're not doing it beyond what the vessel can hold. But also at times not being scared of that so much that we don't actually do it. And I think that's the balance that we have to try doing. Jesus is laying all this stuff out long before it fully comes together. But Jesus understands what Jesus' role is. Jesus understands that in this case, Jesus is a catalyst to bring forth a relationship with us that we wouldn't otherwise have. And I know this week it's a fairly simple way of looking at it, but I think it's important because I do think it helps us bring Christ nearer to us. This recognition then that Christ is this catalyst for our own faith, that Christ is trying to do that to have a closer relationship with us so that the Holy Spirit can flow through us easier, and thus allowing that to happen. Instead of pushing it away and saying, I got this under control, when God, through Jesus, is trying to say, but I have so much more planned for you. And I think that's what's hard. And I don't have all the answers on that. But I would argue, I think there's a lot more places where, as a church, we need to let the catalyst run. Let it happen. Go ahead. See what happens. And if it overflows, we'll figure it out from there. But I think too often we get caught up in, well, the reaction's already happening. And we sit there and wait. And yes, it's a slow burn. But are we going to be able to make it to see the whole burn? Or sometimes do we need something to come in to accelerate it? I think if you know the Holy Week story well, I don't think necessarily Jesus wanted that accelerated. But I think the political climate kind of accelerated it. And thus, the catalyst was dropped into the bucket. And look what happened. It took some time for the reaction to fully happen, and when it's fully completed, the catalyst reappears right back with his friends. And look what I did. And I think that's where we need to continue to be looking for that within our own lives, so that we are able to better become the people who God is calling us into, with having the grace and recognizing without fear that God is still going to be with us and guiding us, and still showing God's love for us. So, we'll wrap this up as we always do. I pray God blesses you through your faith and amazes you through science.